Our scripture reading will be from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10, and that's found on page 595 in your pew Bible. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The suckling child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse shall stand as an ensign to the peoples. Him shall the nations seek, and the dwellings shall be glorious.
Our gospel lesson for this morning will come from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be reading Chapter 3 of Matthew's Gospel, beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 12. This time, let us listen to God's word for us. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.' Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather girdle around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit that befits repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." It's the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord Jesus, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's hard to believe, but it's been almost 25 years since the crumbling of the Berlin Wall that separated the East from West. For over half of my life, much of the world had been divided between that great Cold War conflict between East and West. But then one day in 1989, the wall separating those two worlds came crumbling down, and we were told that it was going to be a new world order. The world was going to be made new, new opportunities for peace. In fact, our own president and others had not only declared a new world order, but we were told that there was going to be something called a peace dividend. All the billions of dollars that were spent on defense could now be used to address domestic concerns. A new world order free of the conflict that dominated the Cold War period. But we know that that new world order wasn't much of a new world order at all. In fact, in the time since then, we have been subject to the same old world of war and conflict and violence. Indeed, for the last 10 years, our country has been embroiled in not one war, but several wars. And so the world is the way that it's always been, a world embroiled in conflict and violence, a world that is often devoid of peace. And yet we're reminded this morning in the season of Advent that there is a new world coming. We've been promised that there is another world, a new world order that is on its way. A new world order not promised by politicians or by the circumstances, the political and economic circumstances of our world, but a new world order that only God can bring. There's a new world coming. For all of us who've ever dreamed for a different world, for all of us who have prayed and prayed for another reality, for all of us who can't feel at home in this world anymore, this world of brokenness, this world of suffering, this world of hurt, Advent is the season when we hear loud and clear God's answer to us. There's a new world coming, a redeemed world, a transformed world, a whole new world. That's the message that the prophet Isaiah that John read this morning endeavors to bring to us. Every year during the season of Advent, we enlist the aid of the prophet Isaiah to give us a vision of the future, God's future, the way things will be when God finally has God's way with the world, when God's justice and peace and knowledge finally fills the whole world. That's the vision that Isaiah wants us to see this morning. And it's a beautiful vision, one that has inspired people throughout the generations with a sense of hope. That no matter how dark and foreboding life might be, the darkness and the brokenness are not the last word. The last word belongs to God. And God's word through the prophet Isaiah is that there's a new world that is coming. It's important to understand that Isaiah gives us this vision at a time when the darkness in Israel is at an all-time high. People are afraid. Armies are marching. The northern 10 tribes have been overrun. Little Judah is being besieged. The leaders of Israel are corrupt and confused. The whole world looks like it is falling in, and everyone is afraid. The future appears to be closed down. It appears to be nothing more but a stump. And it's in the midst of this that Isaiah gives his vision. Isaiah wants to convey to the people that life is not a stump, that the future is not closed down, that there is a future. There is a new world coming. There's a shoot, he says, a shoot that is springing out of the stump of Jesse. There is new hope, hope for a brand new world, a world of peace and harmony. And that world is coming. Isaiah wants us to understand that. He wanted the people of his day to understand that, and he wants us to understand that. I think that one of the reasons that Isaiah's words inspire such beauty and hope with many of us today is because there is inside of each and every one of us this deep, deep longing for wholeness and peace. We desire peace. We want peace. We want peace of mind. We want peace for our families and our communities. We want peace for our nation. We were created for peace. We were created to live in peace. We don't always know how to bring peace. We don't always know how to live in peace. That's what we're still trying to figure out. We're often trying to figure out how we can keep all of our stuff and live in peace at the same time. But we were created for peace. But that's what we are promised in our passage from Isaiah. We are promised that at the heart of God's coming world is peace. Peace for all of us. Peace for the entire world. Isaiah is the prophet who tells us that one day nations will beat their swords in the plowshares and that they will study war no more. Imagine that. Imagine a world where people study war no more. Imagine a world where there are no more bloated defense budgets, no more weapons of mass destruction, no more suicide bombers, or no more drone attacks. A whole new world. Imagine that kind of world if you can believe in it. It's a vision that is hard for us to see. But that's the promise of this season, the promise of Advent, a whole new world, a world that is coming, a world of peace and harmony. This morning, Isaiah gives us an even more compelling vision. You heard that vision as it was being read, but can you see it? Can you see the vision that Isaiah wants us to see? Can you see the vision of a wolf and the lamb living together? Can you see the vision of the calf and the lion laying side by side? Can you see the vision of the cow and the bear grazing from the same field? Can you see the vision of a child holding his hand over an antler's den and not being harmed? Can you see a vision of a world being led by the playful, joyful, innocent wonder of a child? Can you see that vision? It's Isaiah's way of telling us that in God's coming future, even nature itself will be transformed and healed and restored so that the whole world will become what God always intended it to be, a place of peace where there's no hurt or destruction anywhere. Imagine that. Imagine a world where there's no hurt or destruction anywhere. Imagine a world without heartbreak, a world without disease, a world without cancer and abuse, a world without abortions, a world without crying and hungry children. Imagine that kind of world. Imagine that world where no one intentionally hurts anyone, either through hurtful words or hurtful actions or the hurtful deeds that we often do to one another. Imagine that kind of world. Imagine a world where all children can play without having to worry about being poisoned, either by creatures of nature or by the attitudes of hatred and indifference that often pervades our world. That's the world that God is promising will come in the future. There's a new world coming. I just got back, as many of you know, from the Holy Land, which as far as I can tell is anything but holy. It's a land torn by strife and violence and hatred. A lot of it, sad to say, which is fueled by religion, bad religion. Religion, of course, bad religion at least, seems to be at the heart of so many of the world's conflicts. Bad religion gives rise to bad visions, visions of exclusion and violence and hatred. But Isaiah tells us that that's not the future. Isaiah tells us that that's not God's future. He tells us that one day the whole earth, the whole world will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. The whole world will be filled with God's peace and justice and righteousness. Imagine that. Imagine a world where Jews and Palestinians live side by side. Imagine a world where Christians and Jews and Arabs live in a land without resorting to violence. Imagine that kind of world. Imagine a world where rich and poor live together, and black and white live together, without hating one another and despising one another and having contempt for one another. Imagine a world where Republicans and Democrats or conservatives and liberals could come together. Imagine a world where we can see each other as human beings, as fellow children of God, and not people that we have to hurt and be contemptuous of. Imagine that kind of world. Imagine God's world of peace and shalom and justice for all. Isaiah tells us that that world is coming. It's important to understand that we can't give ourselves that kind of world. We can't give ourselves a world of peace. We can't heal ourselves. We can't transform ourselves. We can't live in peace on our own, no matter how many leaders we elect and charge to be over us. Only God can do that. Indeed, God has already initiated the healing and the transformation of our world in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the green shoot that has sprung up from the dead stump of Jesse. He is the green shoot that springs up from all the dead stumps that we place our hope in. He is the one who has the Spirit of God blowing all over him. Jesus had that Spirit. He had the Spirit of counsel and the Spirit of might. He had the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of understanding. Imagine that, a leader with the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Many of our leaders have knowledge but no wisdom. Many of them have data but no understanding. But Jesus, the leader that God has chosen to redeem the world, has the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. And he is also the one who judges not by what his eyes sees or by what his ears hear, but with justice for the poor. Imagine that. Imagine a leader whose heart is inclined towards the poor, the most vulnerable people in our world. I was listening to our own political leaders, and in our own political discourse, we don't even like to mention the poor. I heard the President of the United States the other day, and he can't bring himself to talk about the poor. He likes to talk about the middle class or working Americans, but he can't talk about the poor because the poor are unpopular in our society. We don't very much like the poor. But this new leader, the Lord Jesus Christ, his heart is inclined towards the poor. He is the one, we are told, who can bring us peace. He is the only one who will bring us peace. Isaiah knows that a new world is coming because a new leader is coming. Indeed, that leader has already broken into our world. That leader has already shown us how to live. That leader has already shown us what it means to have abundant life. And he is the one who will bring peace and wholeness and healing to our world. We cannot do it on our own. But even though we cannot bring peace to the world, it doesn't mean that we don't have anything to do. We have much to do. First of all, we can begin to turn our lives in the direction of the new world that is coming to us. We can reorient our whole existence so that it's in alignment with God's coming future. That's what old craggy John the Baptist meant when he talked about repenting. Repent, he said. Repent. And when John talks about repenting, he's not just saying to be remorseful or of some of the things that we've done in the past. But when John talks about repenting, he means that we are to align our lives with that vision that Isaiah has brought to us, that vision of peace. He means that we are to right now begin to bear fruit that is worthy of repentance. He wants us to begin right now to exhibit little green shoots of peace and justice in our lives and in our communities and in our world right now. That's what it means to get ready for Advent. That's what it means to repent. It means to get ready, to anticipate God's coming new world. Advent is the most dangerous time of year. It is one of the most subversive times of year. If you like things the way that it is, you don't like Advent. If you're comfortable with the world the way it is right now, Advent is not for you. What you'll usually do is try to sentimentalize it away. You'll try to make it about Christmas carols and family gatherings and nice traditional holiday ways of life. But Advent is about the coming of a whole new world. For those who are longing for the world to be different, for those who are longing for God's righteousness and justice, for those who are longing for a world of peace, for those who are longing for reconciliation with enemies, for those who are longing for the goods of this world to be more evenly distributed, for those who are longing for the cessation of the cries of children, Advent is a reminder that we cannot feel at home in this world anymore, that our hearts and minds are geared to God's coming future. There's a new world coming. There's a new world that's on its way. That's what Advent's about. It's about living. It's about waiting. It's about longing for that new world. It's about longing for that new world to break in to our lives right now. And it's about bearing witness to that new world in the way that we live our lives, in the way that we confront our communities, and in the way that we confront this world. Get ready for it. That's what John the Baptist was telling the people of his day. Get ready for it. It's coming. Get ready for it. Repent. Get ready for it. Turn your lives around. Get ready for it. Bear works that are worthy of repentance. Get ready for it, because it's coming. God's new world of justice and peace and wholeness is coming. It's on its way. It is already in our midst. Prepare for God's light to break into our world and to live in harmony with our fellow brothers and sisters, and indeed with all of creation. There's a new world coming. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for this season. We give you thanks for the light that shines in the darkness. We give you thanks for all of those who are here waiting and longing for the advent of your peace and justice to break into our world. We ask, Lord, that you never give us a spirit of doubt, but that you always imbue us with your spirit that blows across the old stumps of past hopes that we've placed our trust in that have been so disappointing. Continue to blow in our world. Continue to blow your spirit across our lives. Continue to help us to see that vision of peace and justice for the whole world. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.